Phil.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And welcome to Organised Fun, the board game podcast, where this week we've got the first of our country bait episodes, where we are trying to lure in the listeners of Afghanistan.
Oh, I was going to call it Organised Fun, the world tour.
Organised Fun, the world tour, brackets, country bait.
Well, yeah. I got up a list of all the countries in the world.
Yes.
In preparation.
Good.
And I was going to ask you, which country have we not had listened?
There are many. I'm not going to read the whole list.
Hang on, let me start that again. So I got up a list of all the countries in the world.
Yep.
And I was going to ask you which ones. Well, I was going to go in order and say, okay, which ones have we had listens to in or not? And those ones that we haven't,
yeah,
we can talk about. And at the top of the list, A is for Afghanistan.
Yep, and that is the top of the list. That is the first alphabetical country that has not listened to us yet.
Yes. Well, I looked up what games are played in Afghanistan, if there's any particular games from that country or games that are played in that country.
And what did you find out?
Okay, I'm going to read this off. I've just found this random Afghanistan website.
Brilliant.
So some of the games that are played there, I feel like these are more like traditional things.
Yeah.
These aren't like board games necessarily.
Okay.
But there's one called Chin-Uk, and that means wishbone. So it's a game that starts with breaking of a chicken's wishbone.
Right.
So typically it starts during a meal, and it's a bit like, it's basically the equivalent of Don't Get Got.
Oh, really?
So a wager is made before you break the wishbone.
Yeah.
It could be for money or whatever, or chores or something like that. So you have to get your opponent to accept any object in their hand without that person saying Mariyard Ast, which translates into I remember. So it is basically that, where you have to just sneak, and it can happen over like weeks, days. As long as that person doesn't remember, you have to slip this object into their hand without them knowing.
Brilliant.
So yeah, it is basically Don't Get Got the so that's a fun one. And there's another one pronounced Barf-E, again on the similar lines.
Yeah.
So this is apparently played by adults when the first snow of the season occurs. A person sneaks to a friend's house and leaves a snowball or note on the front door and tries to quickly sneak away. If the person initiating the game makes it home without being physically caught, the friend is then obligated to invite the person to a big lavish meal.
Wow.
Or although if person is caught, then they're required to do the hosting of the meal, so it depends who gets caught. So that's a bit more of a Don't Get Got type game as well.
Yeah, a lot of pranks or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna say they're all pranks.
Afghanistan.
There is like chess, apparently is really popular, and there are some like other card games as well. There does seem to be 10 various, you know, variations of card games. Yeah, I'm just having a look through. There's nothing really that's outstanding. I mean, they've listed kite flying as a game here.
Kite flying?
Yeah.
How do you win kite flying?
I don't know. Oh, here we go. No. While this game is mostly played by kids, many adults participate in it. They fly their kites with the goal of cutting their opponent's kite string.
Oh, wow.
The string is no ordinary kite string. An adhesive mixed with rice and sharp grounded glass is applied to it. Leather gloves or a piece of leather is used to prevent the flyer from getting their fingers cut.
Shit.
All sorts of strategy is used during the actual fight, and the undefeated champion is usually referred to as the Sharty. Many kids sometimes patiently wait until one kite loses so they can follow the losing kite and capture it. Wow.
Wow, so like kite fighting.
Kite fighting, but it was one of the games that were banned during the rule of the Taliban, apparently.
Shit, those no fun.
Kite Taliban. Fighting sounds cool, though. Why isn't there nobody ever cool. anywhere else done kite fighting with glass shards? That's cool.
Yeah. There you go. That movie, The Kite Runner. 12-year-old Amir is desperate to win the local kite fighting tournament, and his loyal friend Hassan promises to help him.
Oh, okay. So
in 1970s Afghanistan. So there you go. Kite fighting is a thing.
Yeah. A little bit. It's not like a board game, but...
No, still entertaining.
Yeah. There's other ones that look a bit similar. There's one about... What's this? Tossing a pebble into the air and grabbing another pebble from the ground without losing the pebble that was tossed into the air. The game gets more complicated as more pebbles are then required to be picked up from the ground as one is tossed. So you do like two and then three and you go on and on at that. That sounds like you need skills.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. So that's some interesting games from Afghanistan.
So whilst you looked up games from Afghanistan, I have looked up games about or featuring Afghanistan. So there are, I mean, as you might imagine, there are a lot of war-related ones. War on Terror, Pursuit of Glory, Khyber Rifles, Britannia to Afghanistan, Holy War, Invasion Afghanistan. Lots of strategy, sort of military campaign games going on there. There's also, on the list, Rambo the Board Game. I wasn't sure. Was Rambo quite Afghan central?
Is that where he goes to fight?
Yeah, maybe. Stealthily wage war as you make your own path through the iconic films Rambo 2 and 3. There you go. Mission scenario books. Basically, John Rambo going around causing trouble. But, yes. So lots of war fighty type games. Combat Veteran. Save Afghanistan, comrade.
But they could be set anywhere, really. They've just happened to mention Afghanistan probably on the box or other countries. It's just...
Yes.
Yeah, they're not... Well, they don't seem to be specifically...
Oh, here's one called Push Up Poppies. Manage your very own Afghan poppy plantation and sabotage the competition. Oh, that's a nice one.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, the unpredictable world of Push Up Poppies offers rewards and inflicts pain. Plantation owners in Afghanistan have devilish tricks and creative tools to grow and harvest their poppies. Each player has their own poppy plantation and their goal is to harvest the most poppies by maximizing their plantation's productivity and stifling the opposition. That sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It could either be like a fun, simple game or one of those really complicated bartering, tradey type ones.
Yes. Here we go. There's an Escape from Kabul. Oh, event cards from real life. It's a four-player game where players represent three allied factions. Main purpose is to evacuate refugees from Kabul as it falls to the Taliban. Oh, dear. I think the problem is, when you've got a country that's so steeped in sort of conflict situations, all the games are going to be quite war-y, aren't they?
Well, it's no different to, like, if we did, like, Germany, there's always, like, Escape from Kolditz. There's always going to be the war game, World War II games and stuff there. It's the same kind of thing, really. It's, like, a stereotypical, let's make a game about Germany. We're going to put all Nazis all over it. You know?
That's true.
That type of thing, isn't it?
Yes. Anyway, so we ended up playing a game of Pax Pamir, where we assume the role of 19th century Afghan leaders attempting to forge a new state after the collapse of the Durrani Empire. This is often called the Great Game because of the role played by the Europeans who attempted to use Central Asia as a theatre for their own rivalries. So basically, we could choose, we could either be the Afghans, we could be the British or the Russians, couldn't we?
Yeah, it's on initial look, it's a bit of a cross between Risk and a... Oh my god, the name's gone out of my head. Where you've got a shop and stuff. Deck building game. Like a deck building Risk.
Yeah, so we have there's these cards in the central market, and obviously a big element of the game is buying these cards. But each card is tied to a region of Afghanistan. So there was Trans-Caspia, there was Herat, there was the Punjab. I'm obviously ignorant, but that sounds Indian. Does Afghanistan touch India? Like, does it border India?
Isn't that the border, yeah.
Does it borders? Yeah, okay. Right, Afghanistan is not where I thought it was. But there you go. Okay, so all these different regions, and whatever card you buy is tied to a specific region, and it lets you put troops there, or build roads there, or do stuff in your region, right?
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking to the listeners, not me. But they wouldn't know. Yes, I mean, I didn't really understand it 100%. We played online, and luckily it sort of prompts you to play cards and things. I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing. And then, I mean, I changed allegiances halfway through for no reason because I played a particular card.
Yeah, you started off with Russia, but then you changed to Afghanistan.
And it wasn't, but there wasn't any particular sort of fighting as such in terms of like the cards being like, you're going to do this or do this.
Well, some of the cards, so I bought some British soldiers, and each turn, one of their actions was letting me like kill an opposing army out of my territory. So I kept kicking you out of the Punjab, didn't I?
And I'm guessing this is all based on real life situations here, because on the cards it looked like they were quite historically accurate with the information of like the characters and the generals and stuff.
They were actually like named people, weren't they? William Hay McNaughton or whatever. Let's Google him. Are you a real person?
And there was a little bit of history of them as well. So it was like Risk, deck building, educational, bit of bartering. It did have a bit of everything, but I still couldn't really understand what was going on.
Here we go. William Hay McNaughton was a British civil servant in India who played a major part in the First Anglo-Afghan War.
Like, if you like your history, you would like this game. That's a new category. Historical.
Sorry, I'm just finding out how this dude died. Whoops. Massacre, etc., etc. Anyway, right, yes. Yeah, I think it's based on like a historical situation. But is this something, I don't know why, this is more acceptable a game for me than current War on Terror, Let's Get the Taliban sort of game. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Is that
too recent?
More, as I say, historical. So it's sort of further away. It's not like modern times.
Yeah.
And what it's like, Risk as well. What's that one that's like Risk? Wasn't that supposed to be like Napoleon? Or something.
Yeah, the original Risk is Napoleonic, isn't it?
It's that kind of thing. It is using historical characters, and I'm sure these things, you know, like you say, these characters and things happened, and you're just sort of putting yourself in that situation. And I mean, yeah, I still did not know what was happening particularly, no. Or what to do. I thought if I built like wheat fields or whatever, I'd get money, but I ran out of money.
But the way, so obviously there's these three factions, and the more stuff you place on the board, so the more soldiers or the more roads, then the more dominant your faction is in the country. And I think the idea was just to be a member of the dominant faction before this dominance check thing triggered, right?
Yes, but I mean, I didn't really know when that was going to come up.
Yeah, when the dominance,
and there was like moving cards market. There was a sort of a complicated, in terms of the gameplay, it was quite complicated in terms of the procedure of you buy your cards, like your shop and your deck building, but then the order you play them in court has an effect. And I was only allowed three in mine and you had four in yours. Didn't really explain why.
And there was that extra step, because normally when you buy a card, you know, you buy a card, you take it into your hand. But here you bought a card and it went into your hand, but then it was a separate action to play a card from your hand into your court.
Yeah. Is this a fairly new game?
So we played the second edition, which came out 2019.
Okay, so it's quite a new one, yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
It was all right. It might, maybe not the best. And I think you just need to spend quite a long time learning and reading the cards, as it can probably be quite complicated. But I think once you get into it, you could probably have a good session of fighting on the borders.
Yes, but I did like that element of like, okay, well, I've got a Kandahar card, so that means I put troops in Kandahar. Like, it wasn't, you know, like with Risk, for example, you can choose to invade anywhere and do anything. But here it was like, well, I have to, should you choose the cards to buy specifically to match the region that you're in or that you want to spread into, kind of thing.
And the board wasn't like, there wasn't that many borders, I suppose, because you're doing the realistic regions. There was like five regions, that was it.
Yes.
But I think maybe it did need more of that Risk element. I mean, we played online. I don't know, on the game, do you get little troops and stuff? I think if there was more, there seemed to be more just random cards, and then you looked at the map and what was going on. Maybe it should be, you should be concentrating on the map and seeing, okay, whose border is building here. I wasn't really doing that. I was more concentrating on what cards I had and what they could possibly do, rather than looking at the big picture.
Yes.
Although I won, I don't know how. I have no idea. I just suddenly won and the game was over.
Okay. I mean, it has won the Graroku Expert Game of the Year 2022, and it won Geek Media Awards Hardcore Game of the Year 2022. Nominee. Oh, it won Cardboard Republic Daredevil Laurel Winner 2019.
Okay. I feel like this is more like a critically acclaimed rather than fun and creative.
Then let's crack it out and play it. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to choose a card. I'm choosing Count Porovsky because I think he's Russian and I'm playing Russian.
So there would be no point in me buying Prince Akar of Kabul because he's not my team, right? William Hay McNaughton. I'm going to buy him. I must place a spy.
Ooh. I'm going to purchase a lapis lazuli mine. Oh no, what have I done? I've changed my loyalty to Afghan.
Although he is in Kandahar. Do you think it's good to have cards of the same region? Kandahar's my region. I'm going to connect Kandahar to the Punjab.
I think I'm going to concentrate on industry and get this wheat fields card. Khyber Pass, that sounds like it would be useful.
What do my Kandahar markets do? Ooh, British regulars. Can I afford those? I'm going to start a battle in Kandahar. Fuck off. Kandahar is mine. Get your road out of Kandahar. Go away. I'm going to put a spy in the Kandahar markets. You've invaded the Punjab.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to do that.
Why have you got soldiers in Herat?
Because of my wheat fields.
Get out of the Punjab. Go away. But there you go. So that was a quick delve into Pax Pamir and Afghanistan.
I'd rather play kite fighting. Kite fighting, or
kite fighting sounds amazing. And just think, right, that would be a cool... Imagine like a card game. You've got your kite and the cards have the bits of rope and you can like, here's rope with like razor blades on it and here's rope. You know, like Bears Wee's Babies where you attach all the weapons. You could easily make a kite fighting card game, like where you customize your kite with different scores. I'm going to Google it now. That sounds like a fun thing to have done. Kite fighting. There's a game called Kite, Time to Fly. I think that might be more kites, less fights.
Yes.
Oh, Kite Fight, using the kite, wind and lightning cards in different ways, depending on what they're playing.
But what if you cut the kite, do you have to, you sort of lose the kite then, don't you?
Well, it says you're right, you have to keep, like... at kite fighting. Maybe that's what the kite, little kite boys do. They chase the kites and get the losing kites, right?
Yeah, but like, you're going through a lot of kites, unless you can keep reattaching the string every time.
Kites, Time to Fly. What is this about? Get ready to soar with Kites, the thrilling new board game that will take you on an exciting journey through the skies. Start by choosing your kite and launching it in the air. They'll move around the board trying to collect as many points. So it's not fighting. There you go.
It's just general kite flying.
Just general kite flying, yeah. Boring, non-aggressive kite flying. But yeah, no. There you go. Well, I guess...
I feel that was very educational. We've learned quite a lot.
I've learned a lot about Afghanistan.
And we've played a game that we probably wouldn't have chosen.
No.
Like if you're going through like online, like choosing a game like we have done, that wouldn't really stand out.
No, not at all. But yeah, hopefully this will encourage some Afghan listeners, or if anyone can be bothered, just go to Afghanistan and listen to us from there, please.
Yeah, let's see by next time if if there is a listener. I'm going to say we're not going to have any Afghanistan listens by next week.
Wow, that's very pessimistic. But yeah, I mean, you know, but who, I mean, whatever. This is just a fun, as you said, getting us to consider some games, some ideas that we wouldn't normally.
Yeah, different ones that we wouldn't have played, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I might go and watch The Kite Runner. Who knows?
Yeah, do some kite fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, yeah, I've been Phil.
I've been Mark.
And remember, non relinquim in arcara periculo. Find us on Facebook, our Organised Fun Pod. You can find us on X at Fun Organised. And hopefully you can now also find us in Afghanistan. Thanks for listening. Bye, little friends.
Bye. Have you read the rules?
Nope.
We'd like to thank you for flying with us today.